Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 21st, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Last week, Jiwire, the location-based ad company, announced a new offering called Location Graph that helps marketers better profile individuals anonymously based on where they go. The where is not so much about location, but rather the types of places individuals visit. The actual location is perhaps not that relevant. So, does location matter in target marketing, or is it simply a surrogate for something else? We'll dig into Location Graph after a word from our sponsor.
National security, cyber warfare, energy independence. These are the topics of the first Geo Huntsville Conference that will be produced by Directions Magazine this November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Formerly the Rocket City Geospatial Conference, this regional event will draw a large audience of senior technologists from the defense industry and the business community. Find more information at www.geohuntsville.com and join us this November.
Media Post offered a nice succinct description of this new location graph targeting tool from Jiwire. I'm going to quote. Location-based ad company Jiwire Wednesday unveiled a new ad service designed to help marketers target specific audiences based on the billions of pieces of location data it has collected. The company's location graph harnesses that data to create anonymous user profiles based on the types of places people visit, from beauty parlors to drugstores to airports. And this new targeting tool seems to work, Media Post goes on. Jiwire reports that in beta testing with ad partners using Location Graph to target campaigns among its audience of 55 million on mobile phones, tablets, and laptops, it has seen a 30% increase in click-through rates. And I understand that to mean if you add on this new layer of targeting, your click-throughs go up 30%. Jiwire itself describes Location Graph as a revolutionary mobile solution that uses big data and machine learning algorithms to assign audience profiles based on past and present locations. Populated by the largest pure location database known today, the data provides a unique look at how a person's behavior is interconnected with their locations and each other. And what Jiwire offers, and I want to suggest that listeners go and look at this graphic because I think it's very interesting, is they have a graphic that basically shows you how they use big data to determine how likely someone who visits, say, the dentist is to also visit the pharmacy or the doctor or the beauty salon. And they have a whole series of different things you can click on, and if you visit this kind of place, you are likely to visit these kinds of places. It's sort of the way it goes. So, Joe, what was your reaction to this announcement? Is this new? Is it like things we've seen before?
No, it's not new. And the data that they're accumulating from the mobile devices is perhaps the only new element here. It's the platform that I think that they are focusing on, not the individual ability to do the target marketing. The types of target marketing that they're really focused on is frankly, has been done for years. The propensity for an individual to do this versus that because they have this demographic profile. It's purely psychographics. It's nothing more than that. It's things that Nielsen used to do, Claritas used to do. What they're doing in terms of machine processing or this new great algorithm that they're using, I don't know. They really didn't provide enough information on their website, but it's pure psychographics. The only thing that is different is how they're collecting the data.
Okay, so help those of us who aren't as well-schooled in this as you. So Nielsen used to do this kind of thing, but they would learn about you through what you watch on TV and what billboards you see and stuff?
Right. These were lifestyle habits. These were exactly as Jiwire was supposed to, is trying to do, is what's your propensity to visit a New York Yankees game? Well, if you go to a New York Yankees game, well, maybe you also take the subway and you visit a deli and you work in downtown Manhattan. It's those kinds of linkages between your lifestyle preferences and your location and trying to extrapolate as to where you are likely to go next. It's the same type of thing. I drive a Volvo, I subscribe to New York Magazine, and I buy Skippy peanut butter. Therefore, I'm a likely candidate to buy a high-end hair product, for example. So these types of linkages have been done for years. And the types of things that, for example, Claritas used to do, the site, the PSYTE lifestyle segmentation, the breakdown of the 60-odd lifestyle segments, the guns and pickup trucks, the furs and station wagons, those types of lifestyle segments, which put you in a certain category. And if you are in a certain category, you probably lived in a certain zip code. And if you lived in that zip code, you had the propensity to buy whatever products. This type of segmentation has been done in many, many years. As I said before, the only difference is how are they collecting the data? And as you said, Nielsen used to do it by TV. It could be done or has been done in the past by frequent buyer programs. So there's different ways to have collected the data. This is just adding on a platform.
And what's really interesting to me is while they tie this to your past and current locations where you're going, what seems to be far more important than the actual location, whether you go to the Starbucks in Cambridge versus the Starbucks in Arlington, is that you went to Starbucks.
Right.
Now, is that what you're understanding as well?
Yeah, that, and again, that's not anything necessarily significant. If I'm in downtown San Francisco and I'm a pure Starbucks buyer, but, you know, I'm just happen to walk by the Pete's, I'm going to stop in Pete's because I want a cup of coffee. The same type of thing can be said for, well, I'm generally, when I want to do my home repairs, I go to Lowe's. Well, sometimes you go to Home Depot, but that's no big deal because generally the Home Depot was right across the street from the Lowe's. You know, that's just the way their site selection strategies have been. The site selection strategy for coffee shops in downtown San Francisco is, if I'm not going to get you at one corner, I'm going to get you at the next corner. And whereas I may be a Starbucks buyer, I may walk by that Pete's or Green Mountain Coffee or wherever has that location that's closest. I may walk in there. So I don't think it's any big deal that says that your propensity to buy coffee leads, because they did quote one figure about Starbucks versus Pete's. I don't find that unusual. I think that that's typical of a lifestyle segmentation and a target marketing type of analysis.
Yeah, and it almost feels like the geography part is less important. Now, having said that, how is the geography part actually used? And GigaOm sort of delved into that a little bit and said, having a history of where a user has gone can also allow Jaiwire to push ads from advertisers that are not just nearby at the moment, but are also close by the places where a person has often visited in the past. And this is where things get interesting, because now we're starting to get at what I've described in the past as this whole idea of somebody having an orbit, the places mm-hmm. they regularly go, right? And that allows, I would argue, the marketers to say, well, I know that every Monday night Adina goes to Concord. So if something new is happening on the way to Concord and she fits that demographic profile, then I should say, hey, next time you're going to Concord on Monday night, here's the place to stop to get a sandwich or whatever. That, to me, is a whole lot more valuable to me than what we used to quote as sort of the horrible vision of location-based marketing, which was you walk by the coffee shop or the pizza place and a coupon pops up on your phone. This is not that. In fact, this is 180 degrees removed from that, which I think is a huge step forward.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I like the concept of the orbit for a couple reasons. But one is what I would call the classic geographic model of gravity modeling, and your propensity to visit a place because of your proximity to. I may prefer, because of my individual psychographic profile, to visit Target, the department store, but Target is 5 miles away from me. However, the Walmart is merely a mile away from me. Again, department store, I might not frequent the Walmart because I don't feel as comfortable because of my station in life. I'd prefer to go to the Target. However, because of that, the orbit is, the gravitational pull of the Walmart is closer, I will go to Walmart because of a convenience factor. And if you've read anything about classical geographic models, the convenience factor is often was cited as the Huff model. It's not the gravity model. Huff is all about propensity and convenience and how many products are in a certain area. And so I have the propensity to visit this store because of certain elements, more products, more parking spaces, better lighting, all of those things that draw me into that particular location. So I like the concept of the orbit for a couple of different reasons.
Right, and I think they're starting to sort of get at that. It just has a the way they're certainly describing this almost is taking geography out of the equation, maybe a little more than it needs to, and maybe it's going to be put back in later.
Yeah, I think geography is still there to a large degree. I think what they're banking on is, or maybe they're de-emphasizing the location because of the privacy issues that people always go back to and bring up. Oh, it's anonymous. We don't really know where you are. I think location is probably more important, but they're putting it more into the background because of that privacy issue.
That actually makes a lot of sense. So that, yeah, we're putting you in this group that behaves in this certain way and visits these kinds of stores, and that's less scary than we know exactly which Starbucks you went to, which they do know, but...
Right, right. I mean, I go back to the books I used to read. Michael Weiss has two great books. You have to read them if you're into this type of thing. The Clustered World, The Clustering of America. The whole idea that you are in a certain psychographic profile, that this is likely, you likely live in these zip codes because of your lifestyle and your station in life. So this is all classic psychographics that Michael Weiss went into in details many years ago.
Okay, well, so here's the key question then. If we've already done things like this using other data to make similar kinds of predictions, is this data better? Are we going to do a better job because our data is better? I mean, I know with the Nielsen things, they used to say, well, certainly back in the old days where you kept a notebook of what you watched on TV, apparently people would always say they were watching PBS and the educational shows when in fact they were watching cartoons or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, so the data was sort of questionable. So is this better?
Well, I expect it to be better because there are more data points. The fact that they are measuring more and refining their methodology a little bit more should bring you more refined analyses. So
big data is going to help us here.
I would think so, although the big data they're quoting, millions, is not what people are thinking about these days in terms of gigabytes and petabytes of data. I mean,
well, and I can say that JWire has a database of more than 3 billion location tags pulled from latitude, longitude information, and other data that connects to real places.
Okay, that's a lot of data, but
so
it's not the petabytes. Yeah, we're getting up there, yeah. So again, to answer your question, I think the refinement of the algorithms, the more data you have, I think the better. So, I think it will be better because Nielsen families were always a select amount. You could never quite get enough, perhaps, frequent buyers into your frequent buyer program. The sampling of data has got to be better, I would say.
Right, because everybody's carrying these devices and...
Sure.
Through all of the different ways that JWire does it, it's getting at least where it thinks you are. So I've been thinking about this. I have a habit to go to a particular subway in my city, and it's right next door to the Starbucks. Subway does not have Wi-Fi, but of course Starbucks does. So I sit in Subway and eat my sandwich and borrow the Wi-Fi from next door. So my suspicion is that JWire, now granted, I'm only one little data point in the billions here, they think I'm going to Starbucks. And in fact, I don't go to Starbucks very often at all. So those kinds of things are interesting to me. And also something like, okay, so a lot of the examples had to do with moms and kids. So if mom takes the kids to a local museum here, the Di Cordova, it's a great museum to take kids because they have outdoor sculpture. And you don't have to pay to go to the outdoor sculpture park. A lot of people have picnics, and it's really nice. But they might go to that, but they don't even pay the admission fee to actually go to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this information, you know, in terms of, you know, where you are, doesn't may not get at the what you're actually doing. And I think that's just an interesting caveat to this big data. But as we've learned, the bigger the data, the better it gets, right? So,
well, and more to the point, I know that Jiawire's clients tend to be the larger advertisers, but eventually a lot of this information is going to trickle down on a much more local level. Now you mentioned two major chains, Starbucks and Subway, but I think the issue is, even though those are two major chains, what are the other stores around that location, whether it's a small central business district? Are there mom and pop type stores near there, and wouldn't they also find it valuable to have this type of information? Because really, what it's doing when they sense your location, they shouldn't all be looking just at the major chains that you're visiting, but also the locale, that target market area, even if it's just a 1 mile square area that is more for foot traffic, for a pedestrian. So you walk past the Subway, you walk past the Starbucks, do you also walk past
the
dry cleaner
and a laundromat?
I was just going to mention the dry cleaner or a tailor, for example. Yeah, exactly. It should trickle down to those folks as well.
Right, and that's, I think, a bit in the future. And I think you're right. This is really focused at those big brands. And I have to say, now that you're basically telling me there's nothing new under the sun here, the excitement with which this announcement was covered was quite extensive. I mean, there's a lot of coverage of this, and especially in the tech world, where, and I think what we're running into, we in the tech world are not aware at all about what's been going on with psychographics in the past. We don't have that historical perspective.
Yeah, and yet I can't believe that the Best Buys and the McDonald's and the Starbucks in this world haven't been using psychographics for a long time. I think they are benefiting from the ability to capture mobile location-based information. So, again, refining the models. And these guys are really well-versed in target marketing. They know how to do this stuff. I mean, they're smart people. So this is giving them one more, and I use the word platform, it's giving them one more platform, it's giving them one more capability to capture data than perhaps had been done in the past.
Right, so it sounds like this is more of a step forward versus a leap.
That's a good way to characterize it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
We at Directions would like to remind you that if you're looking to ramp up sales and close business faster, our Geospatial webinar is a production of Directions Magazine and Earth Imaging Journal, have an average registration of over 500 attendees, making it an outstanding value. Our proven methodology has worked for clients such as Oracle, Google, Esri, Pitney Bowes, and many others. For more information, go to geospatialwebinars.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.